Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Live, emanating from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now. Of knocking out all bums. Who am I? I am your modest host. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, back when the Golden Gloves meant something. And of course, I'm also an award-winning writer. So allegedly or supposedly, I'm supposed to know something about boxing. But the average fan probably knows more. So I'm going to open up the toll-free today just for you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. That's the toll-free listener line. Or you can text us on the Gilfrey No Commitment text line. You want to get a message here? You want to drop a line? You want to drop me? Go ahead. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Of course, we've got fights going on today. James Herring and Carl Frampton. Carl Frampton. Frampton comes alive. Kid was fighting at 122. I thought that was his peak. He's fighting at 130. We'll see what the boxing PhD Socrates Palmer says about that fight. He'll be here in our first segment today of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, of course, Channel 217, and live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. That's right. We're going video. 21st century, all coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios, the frigid Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. If you didn't know it by now, what can I say?
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. In just a few minutes, of course, coming to us from across the pond, Jamel Herring, WBO champion, 28-2, 16 kills, been stopped once, taken on 22-2 with 10 whacks, been stopped once, taken on Frampton comes alive. Carl Frampton, baby, 28-2, 16 kills. That'll be coming on the zone shortly. Of course, the main event figures to go on about 2:30 Pacific time. So check your clock, whatever time it is right now, 2:30 Pacific time, 5:30 Eastern time. The main event should air about that time on the zone. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is the Saturday edition live. You're on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio. The new channel we've got there is Channel 217. And of course, a plethora of other internet platforms. Now, we take it from the West Coast to the East Coast, and bring in, of course, the boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. How's everything with yourself?
Well, everything's fine. I'm pondering my thoughts here about Oscar De La Hoya and Roy Jones. Now, Oscar De La Hoya has been known to wear a bra, and Roy Jones should wear a bra. So where does that? So how do we do that?
So it would be the bra for it all, I guess.
Oh! I wasn't expecting that one, but that's a cool, that was one of the best comebacks you ever, right on, bro. That was a killer comeback. Seriously, last time I saw Roy Jones with Mike Tyson, I mean, it was shameful, man. He had like, you know, he had breasts some women might be proud to have.
Yeah, it says Father Time is undefeated. And we talk about Roy Jones, who at one point had, I mean, just as far as physique, the perfect physique. I mean, the guy was chiseled, and he does not look like that anymore as he's, you know, nearing 50 years of age. I saw he put out a press conference. He got excited. He said that him and Oscar have unfinished business. I don't know what that is. I mean, they were never ever campaigning at the same weight class at any time. So, but I think there was always kind of like that little bit of jealousy Roy had, because Oscar was kind of like the face of HBO. And although Roy was the best fighter on the planet at one point, he didn't get that same Oscar love, and certainly not the Oscar paydays, you know, when they were both at their prime.
That's because Roy never slept with the women that Oscar slept with. Let's be honest now. Remember that deposition he took for that alleged sexual assault down there in Cancun or whatever, that Mexican resort down there? And of course he said that he didn't remember the girl's name because he had sex with over 250 women in the last year. He doesn't even remember her.
What a problem to have, huh?
Well, what can I say? And he's still alive.
He's still alive, yes.
I mean, yeah, this would, you know, that's, yikes. That's a little scary. Ask Matt Gaetz about that right now. He's in a world of trouble. Of course, we'll get to that probably in another day, but, you are tuned. I gotta laugh about that one. You are tuned. So tell me about Carl Frampton. Frampton comes alive. I was excited to him, with him at 122 pounds, but he's never really lost major fights. I mean, the one fight that I was thinking about, that Leo Santa Cruz fight, that might have been like a almost a hometown decision, because Santa Cruz was the Mexican-American, and of course, you know, fighting in Vegas, fighting in L.A., it's sort of tough to beat those guys there.
You got to bring your own judges sometimes when you go into that deep enemy territory. Carl Frampton and Jamal Herring is an excellent fight. I think Carl Frampton, his legacy's on the line tonight. I think if he wins this, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's already had a pretty darn good career. You can make a case for him being a Hall of Famer now. He's fought some of the best fighters of his era. Santa Cruz twice. He lost his countryman, Warrington. He fought Quigg, another countryman. He beat him.
Yep.
I didn't think Nonito Donaire, an older Donaire, but still, Donaire was still alive. And he's an exciting fighter, man. He fights in and out, throws a lot of punches. Both guys with, good amateur pedigrees. And Frampton, who's been around, it seems like forever, is actually younger by a year than Herring. The big advantage that everyone sees is the height that Herring will possess and the southpaw style. But, I mean, Frampton's a guy that's seen it all. You know, I don't think that's necessarily going to be the telling factor. I know that he's the underdog, but leaning towards Carl Frampton pulling up the minor upset and winning a third title at their weight class.
So this is an instance where size doesn't matter. In other words, combat sports and pornography, this is one instance where size isn't going to matter?
I don't think so, because Herring is not the best defensive fighter. He fights kind of cautious, and he only has 10 knockouts, you know. And those guys with that are kind of like feather punchers, they don't really scare me. You know, they're not, you know, I think they're guys that he's definitely going to use what his natural ability has in front of him. He's going to fight from the outside. But Frampton's a different cat. I think it's not the first time he's fought a taller fighter, and he's going to have to really dig down deep, you know. And the winner of this fight probably has Shakur Stevenson to deal with, who I believe is the number one contender in that for the WBO belt.
Well, so, and that's nothing to look forward to, the undefeated Shakur Stevenson. But James Herring's 35 years old. That's what I was really going to lead to there. I mean, he's like 35 going on 95 in the world of boxing. I mean, more power to him. I saw him saluting and all that kind of good stuff. He seems to be a patriotic guy. All that kind of more pops to him. But, you know, I think you're right. I think Frampton's probably going to light him up like the White House Christmas tree. Too many punches coming from too many angles.
Yeah, he's a crafty dude in there. He really is, you know. And Herring's tough. I mean, he's an ex-Marine, you know. He's not going to fold, you know.
He may.
And it's in a neutral zone. It's in a neutral area. Fighting in Dubai. It's going to be a very even fight and something to look forward to today.
Dubai. It's a hellhole. You never want to go there. It's a con job. Listen, when you hear all these tourists, if I get a Dubai tourist, I'm a Dubai sponsor, I'm in trouble. But the bottom line is, Dubai is not the place you want to go. It's a hellhole. You can't stop sweating from the day you get off. I don't sweat much, but from the second you get off the plane until you get back on the plane, it's all about sweating, and people smell like sweat over there. And what I'm trying to tell you is Dubai is just not it's just not paradise. It's not paradise. I was going to slam it in another way, but I'm not going to. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. No, I'm not giving tourist advice, but I'm just trying to tell you, as far as Dubai is concerned, it was terrible. Of course, they're having this fight in Dubai. Caesar's Palace has got something in Dubai. When I was there, Caesar's wasn't there. But of course, that was like 10 years ago. But Caesar's Palace making all these moves around. You know, Mr. Wynn as well making moves in Macau outside of the United States.
I don't think you're not going to necessarily be given any type of Medal of Honor from the Dubai Chamber of Commerce, huh?
They can kiss my tush. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hey, for those of you in Dubai, listen, I feel for you. Okay. I do. If I lived in Dubai, here's what's up. I would do the Bruce Lee thing. I would have my sebaceous glands taken out from my armpits. I mean, cause I couldn't walk around looking like that 24/7. I just can't. Am I too vain?
We all are.
Oh, did you know that was one of Bruce Lee's secrets? That he had the sweat glands in his armpits taken away. That's why he never sweat down there. He looked so good he could always flex and not look gnarly.
I never knew that.
Well, you know, I know Bruce Lee was born here in San Francisco, of course.
Right.
No doubt about that. The legend that he was in the world of martial arts and films, but you know, his death. A lot of Chuck Norris talked about it, and you know, I mean, Leo Fong, one of his sparring partners, has been on the show to talk about. Malcolm Boutwell's talked about it. All these three different guys got three different perspectives on it. But the bottom line is, you know, Bruce Lee is dead, and there probably never will be an answer to that.
It's one of the great mysteries of Hollywood, and amazing the impact that Bruce Lee had at such a young age, an icon. And the fellow Sagittarius like ourselves.
And you know, I watched it when he was Kato. That's what, everywhere in the world. Check this out. You talk about anti-Asian American sentiment. Everywhere in the entire world, the Green Hornet TV show was called the Kato Show. But in the United States, it was called the Green Hornet. That's what, yeah. Hollywood, wow. 1966. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC TV, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stay tuned for some more of Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the break.
He would try, and then I would bring it back down, and it'd work, man. I just wanted to gas him out and get him tired, you know. It's a big boy. He's got a lot of muscle on him, you know, and there's a lot of oxygen to carry for a big boy like that.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That was the former USC champion, of course, the former Ohio State Golden Glove champion, former Cleveland Golden Glove champion, learned how to do the MMA thing a little bit later as far as his world of mixed martial arts term, but he attained the World Heavyweight Championship as far as the USC was concerned until he ran into Francis Ngannou. And this was like one of the worst beatdowns I've ever seen in my life, because you knew it was going to happen. If you were holding your breath, waiting on like the hammer to drop on this poor guy, you knew it was going to drop. It dropped in the second round. Thank God it was like a bit merciful that the referee jumped in when he did and stopped the fight. Thank God he didn't have to take any more punishment. But Stipe Miocic should ride off into the sunset. The fact that he was able to fight at the USC upper echelon as far as the heavyweight division is concerned and only weigh like 220 pounds, more power to him. God bless him. I hope he retires. Take your money and walk away. You're a firefighter back there. They love you in your community, man. Go back as a whole man. Don't let Dana White take you apart and pimp you off anymore. Speaking of Dana, take that back. Let's take it back to the East Coast and bring in, of course, boxing speechy, Socrates Palmer. Sock, did you feel for Stipe Miocic the other night or what?
Yeah, I mean, he just ran into a guy that was not going to lose to anybody that night, you know. Francis Ngannou is a monster, and he had a how can I say, he talked about tunnel vision. There was nothing Miocic could do, and you saw that from the first round, you know, when he went to the ground and Ngannou was able to get out of that. He avenged the loss, and he did it in spectacular fashion. It's a shame that it wasn't in front of a live crowd and, you know, a star is born. You know, Ngannou is a beast, and I believe now they have his sights set on John Jones for a possible mega fight, which is something to look forward to. But Ngannou's, he's a bad boy. You know, he's 6'4", 260. That's scary, man.
You know, he broke in as a boxer. He was a professional boxer in Paris, France, and he went like 8-2, got stopped one time. Something like that. And then, of course, he made the transition to the world of mixed martial arts. And in all three of his fights, now, I know a lot of people say this sounds like BS that you did, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he learned. I think he really learned. When he lost to Stipe Miocic, he probably learned he didn't have a ground game. He came back in his next fight. He lost to unheralded, no, maybe not unheralded, but not top two guy, not two, top two or three guy. Derek Lewis lost the decision to him. So, I mean, the bottom line is, I think he learned from both those fights. And of course, he blitzed Cain Velasquez, blitzed, Curtis Blaydes, blitzed Junior Dos Santos, blitzed that Mark. He was a Mark. I told you he was a Mark. Jazarino Rozenik had that great record. He got blitzed in 20 seconds, of course. And Mitch Miocic makes it through 52 seconds of round number two. Here's the problem with Miocic now. I mean, with Ngannou now. There's nobody for him to fight. I mean, there's nobody. At least with Mike Tyson, he said, well, maybe, maybe, maybe. I don't think there's any maybes. I don't think there's anybody that could beat him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the John Jones is, you know, that's the fight that everyone wants to see. I would like to see him maybe get a rematch against Derek Lewis before that. But, you know, I saw some articles that John Jones said that he wouldn't fight him for the price that Dana White was given. I think it was like $8 million.
Yeah, something like that.
And good for him. Good for him. It's amazing that last week, Dillian White and Povetkin, I believe one made $4 million, which was Dillian White and the other gentleman. I think Povetkin made $3.5 million. Compared to what the MMA men event made, I think, less than $1 million.
Jorge Masvidal, the bad boy, sells out Madison Square Garden against Nate Diaz, sells it out on his own name. Wasn't Nate Diaz, it was him. He sold it out. They gave him $500,000. Wait, but to show he was a good little boy on the plantation, they gave him a $50,000 bonus.
They're getting pimped out. I don't
understand. That ain't the word for it. Pimp, but listen, I worked as a cop in San Francisco. I engaged real pimps. I mean, stone cold pimps back in the days when they wore, you know, those super fly type of outfits. So I'm kidding you. So anyway, those guys couldn't get away with giving their girls 8 to 12 cents on the dollar. That's what the UFC pays their employees.
And none of those girls are catching elbows to the nose, you know, and that's crazy. When I saw that payout, I was just like, blown away. I mean, this is the heavyweight championship. I mean, not even $1 million. I mean, that's just criminal, you know, and I don't know how much longer it's going to happen. You know, I mean, the UFC is one league. I wonder if the fighters will strike, kind of like the way the NFL players have done before, but that's crazy that the amount of money that they get paid. And yes, like you said, they get bonuses and whatnot, but.
Yeah, but it's like this. It's like I'm paying you 50 cents and I'll throw you another 25 cents because you're a good boy. So I'm like, no, that just don't work. And he was speaking of John Jones, of course, his big claim to fame was that car accident there in New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico, the hit and run where, of course, he didn't hit and run once. He hit and run twice. He hit and run these people, got into a car accident. The lady was pregnant in the car. She got hurt. They had to call an ambulance. So he fled the scene and then he came back. Because he had to get some weed. He left some weed in the car. So he had to come back and get his weed that he left in the car. Then he left again. I've never heard of a guy hit and run leaving the scene twice of an accident. Have you?
That's the first I've heard of it. John Jones, definitely outside of the octagon, is a piece of work. he's had some issues. You know,
hey,
but a very
had to have that
guy.
Chronic. Had to have that chronic. You know, I understand where he's coming from, but he had to have that chronic. Speaking of John Jones, of course, unbeaten with the exception of that, that disqualification loss when he elbowed somebody on the ground. He is a talent like unheard of before, but you know, that was at 205 pounds. That was light heavyweight and he was shrinking down to get that. Now, I believe Now, this is just my speculation. I speculate that he may have taken some Flintstone vitamins in order to look 260 pounds or 250 pounds and be all buffed at 250 pounds. But the bad side to that is sometimes you puff yourself up and all you are is air.
Yeah. Well, he has had, PED issues before.
No. Stop. He took a penis pill. That's what he said. He pulled over to a gas station, and he didn't use the word penis. He used another word that sort of sounds like Rick. Anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, I went to a gas station. He even mentioned the gas station, Chevron gas station in Albuquerque, and he bought himself a penis pill, and that's how he tested positive for steroids.
That's crazy. I mean, a young guy like that having trouble, with...
Oh, exactly! Exactly! Holy cow, man! Anyway, we didn't want to go there, but the bottom line is you take care of yourself. The last thing you need is anything starting with a V. You are tuned... I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, this is the Saturday edition, which we feature the appearance of my current guest. We're talking about boxing's true PhD, Socrates Palmer, of course, coming to us from the Bronx. And, Sock, I got to ask you this. Is the Bronx starting to come alive? I mean, we're starting to come live here on the West Coast. I got my second vaccine on Wednesday. I didn't have any side effects from either vaccine. Had the second one on Wednesday. Hector had his second on Wednesday. He's feeling good. We're all ready to go. Of course, I'm ready to travel, man. What about you? Is the world coming back to life a little bit?
I think slowly but surely. Opening day. So there's fans at Yankee Stadium, so that's always a good thing. It's going to be a process, but I think more people are going to feel more confident about going out and being out and about. And the big thing is going to be the weather. Today it's a little chilly out here. It's about mid-50s, but I say give it a couple of weeks. The weather will dictate a lot,
Don't be complaining about the weather. You ever come to the Sports Byline Studios? Look at me. I've got my Kronk jacket on. I've got my Ali sweatshirt underneath. It's got a hood. I got my witness protection hat. Somebody says, what do you mean witness protection hat? This hat was sent to me from somebody in the witness protection program. I kid you not. So I wear it for him or her. Won't say who it was. Him or her each week. Anyway, Sock, tell me, Frampton going to win today?
I'm going with Frampton. Yes, I'm going with Frampton. Close fight. I think he pulls it out 7-5, somewhere in that neighborhood. Just too active.
If this transpires the way you say it is, that'll be your third upset in less than a month, man. You must be hot.
Well, if it was legal to bet on fights here in New York, maybe I could puff my chest a little bit.
You can buy weed now in New York, right?
That's right. It was legalized now, and it looks like it's going to be a good investment.
Check this out. So the most unpopular governor in the world, is he now a little bit more popular or what?
A little bit.
I mean, smoke a joint, you could probably feel a little different about Mr. Cuomo.
Yeah.
Might soften your feelings.
Yeah. Or maybe make you forget about his dastardly deeds that he's allegedly accused of.
I saw Oscar De La Hoya's daughter on YouTube. She's got her own little YouTube channel and this kind of stuff. It's got a couple hundred thousand followers and this and that. And all she does is talk like, oh, my God, I'm a little girl and I'm a little naive. And it was like really – I mean, the entire De La Hoya family, these guys are performers. They all got that Oscar ego.
Really? I have to check her out. What's her name?
I can't – Juliana.
Juliana.
I think it's
okay.
Juliana. Anyway, Sock, that's your parting song. Of course, I'm talking about the Ric Flair theme. It is actually Socrates Palmer's theme before it was Ric Flair's theme. But straight up, I want to wish you the best and say hello to your agent and, of course, to your wife and your daughter and wish you the happiest of Easters and Holy Weeks and all that kind of good stuff.
Thank you very much to all the listeners. Happy Easter. Pedro, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Love you.
The one, the only, Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll spend some time with Super Bad Estrada. Who is that? You'll find out after the break. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. We'll be right back.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Good to see you're still alive. I think I like you.
Make contact with WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman yesterday as he and his family celebrate the Holy Week. I think they're in Boston, Massachusetts. Mauricio wanted me to wish everybody watching on WBC Boxing TV as well as our internet platforms and stations that Mr. Sulaiman and the WBC wish everyone happiness and good health that extends far beyond the Holy Week. Of course, Mauricio says boxing is coming back. Check them out. WBCboxing.com. That's the WBC website, WBCboxing.com. Now, let me run some names off to you. The greatest boxers in the world. Katie Taylor, Jessica McCaskill, Amanda Serrano, Delphine Persson, Clarissa Shields, Cecilia Bregas, CNS's Estrada, yeah, Terry Harper, Chantel Cameron, Michaela Meyer. That's just the top 10 as far as the box records are concerned, as far as female boxing is concerned. Of course, Taylor 17 and zip, McCaskill 10 and 2, Amanda Serrano 40 and 1 with like a draw and 29 knockouts. Holy cow, Delphine Peterson has got 11 fights, never lost. Cecilia Brake, of course, 36 and 2, only lost the two fights, both to Jessica McCaskill, who lit her up like the White House Christmas tree. In fact, if they were gay, she'd have been arrested for domestic violence. She lumped her up so I'm serious. I was like, yeah, she lumped her up. Anyway, that is Clarissa Shields. Of course, Cecilia Brakus, CNS's Estrada, ranked number 7. Of course, 20-0. We'll get to her in just a minute. Terry Harper is 11-0 with a draw. And, Christel Cameron is 13 in zip. And Michaela Meyer is 14 in zip. So bottom line is, there's some talent in the upper echelon of female boxing right now. But I think the real star is this breakout. I'm talking about, I think she's the real deal, CNS's Estrada. She's like 20-0 and she was so impressive last week. She won a 10-round decision. And I don't mean she won a 10-round decision. I mean she flat out won every minute of every round. When I say to Bill, Grandmaster Bill O'Neill, of course, my historian down there in South City, who I chide with it often over the sport of boxing, I said to him, you know, you got to realize that some guys don't win a minute of a round. Well, guess what? Annabelle Ortiz never won a minute of a round. She didn't win 30 seconds of a round. I didn't think she didn't land too many shots. I mean, she landed a couple of good shots when Miss Estrada, who was a left-hander to switch back and forth, right-handed, left-handed. I mean, she does it like so smoothly, maybe better than Terrence Crawford, who was in the crowd as well. Of course, we'll get to Terrence in just a minute. Terrence Crawford wants to fight another bum. Terrence Crawford might fight Scott Cuddy EX because Terrence Crawford really doesn't want to fight Errol Spence. If he wanted to fight Errol Spence, they split the money at 50-50. There's no way some kid from Omaha is worth millions of dollars, especially when you really haven't done a whole lot yet. Yeah, you're undefeated, but what have you done for me lately? I mean, have you beaten any real Hall of Famers on there? Your big claim to fame, I think, as far as all those fights are concerned, Terrence and you and I, we rapped on those different cruises we went on together. But, you know, your big claim to fame was beating up on Yuri Gamboa. He's still around. What can I say? I'm not too impressed with that. At the end of the day, I think women's boxing is really making a move, and I think it's going to make a move in 2021. Anyway, bottom line is, post-fight, Annabelle Ortiz, here is Super Bad Estrada.
Sinisa, congratulations.
Thank you.
I think you brought a tear to the eye of your former stablemate, Sergio Mora, in winning that title. Took you 7 seconds to win your last fight.
Yeah.
You go the full 20 in this one, and you walk out with a new title. What did you think of your performance?
I mean, I thought I implemented the game plan exactly the way we were supposed to. You know, dropped her. How many times is it?
Officially, once in the second round?
Once, yeah. So there were certain punches I was trying to set up, and that was one of them. But yeah, I mean, she's been the reigning champion for 7 years, defended her title 12 times, and I knew that this was my time. This was meant to be.
Talk to me about the right hand you landed in that second round that put Ortiz down. How did you set that up?
So Ortiz is used to being the shorter fighter, so she's used to being none of her opponents ever keep their distance and keep their front foot in front of them to get her to stay away. So our game plan was to just continue to throw the right hand, and little by little, as she got closer and closer, she thinks I'm going to throw the hook, and that's when I threw the right hand.
Did it surprise you how durable Ortiz was, able to stand up to your assault round after round?
I mean, I knew she was durable. I mean, she hasn't been stopped in a long time, and she comes to fight. She comes in great condition, and I knew she would be very durable the whole fight.
You've talked about having, as Sergio comes over, stablemates for many years in Dean Campos' gym, you've talked about how you're more comfortable now at 105 pounds as opposed to having to fight at 112 and above over a number of years. What's the difference in you?
The difference is that, you know, I'm able to show my strength and my power at this weight class. I'm used to fighting, before fighting with Golden Boy, I was fighting at 112 pounds and girls were even heavier than that. And, you know, that's not my natural weight class. So fighting at 105 and 108 is where I should be.
So now you have a title at 105 pounds. You have some options. What do you want to do next?
I want to unify 105, unify 108, and also fight at 112 and get more titles there as well.
Does Marlon Esparza, a rematch there, fit into your plans?
I mean, right now she's irrelevant. She doesn't have a world title, and she fought her last fight at 118 pounds, so obviously she's not planning on losing weight to fight me. So, yeah, but I would like to fight Yesenia Gomez, Jessica Bopp, or any 105, 108-pound champion next.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Super bad Estrada. What can I say? She's super bad. 20-0, 8 knockouts. She can punch, man. Girls, listen. Girls need to step up in the world of boxing like they did in the world of mixed martial arts. I mean, let's be honest. Ronda Rousey was a hit for a long time. I mean, I was clamoring to get her on my show. Not so much anymore. But when she was hot, man. She'd come on the show and say stuff like, yeah, the girl could take steroids. I don't care which. You know, I mean, she talked all her smack, but that's when she was hot. And she sort of transformed women's MMA from like some type of joke, some type of a circus act, okay, into the real deal. I mean, millions of people wanted to tune in and watch Ronda Rousey fight. I mean, because she was like stopping people with that judo armbar, like, you know, 45 seconds, 30 seconds in the first round, that kind of good stuff. She never got into the later rounds too often. Of course, that's how she got lit up like the White House Christmas tree when Holly Holm took her apart down under. She went down under thinking it was an easy fight. Holly Holm beat the snot out of her. Of course, Holly Holm then continued as champion for like 10 minutes. She lost to Misha Tate. Why did she need to fight Misha Tate? She didn't need to fight Misha Tate. Of course, her manager, her promoter, Lenny Fuentes, came on the show talking all kinds. He was my good friend. He worked me. He took me to New Mexico. He showed me a lot of places in the world. So I love Lenny. I respect him. But at that point in time, he thought he was, you know, bigger than God and he was bigger than Dana White. He was going to tell Dana White exactly the way it was going to go down. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take my girl and we're going to fight Misha Tate and not do anything that you want us to do. Of course, they wanted the USC wanted him to wait and, of course, fight the rematch with Ronda Rousey. And, of course, Ronda Rousey would end up fighting the girl that beat Misha Tate, because Misha Tate would lose, of course, to Amanda Nunes. And then Amanda Nunes went out there and destroyed Ronda Rousey. So what I'm trying to say, at the end of the day, women's MMA was at the forefront of the sport at one point in time, and I think that women's boxing can do the same thing. I mentioned some of those great names, and of course, I mentioned Jessica McCaskill, man. I'm so proud of her. I mean, she beats the Silver Breakers not once but twice. She was a decided underdog not once but twice. I mean, even after she beat her up the first time, she said, oh, well, I guess the odds makers, you know, oh, well, we think Breakers are going to win the second time. Didn't happen that way. It ain't going to happen that way. I think a pound for pound, Breakers is done. Stick a fork in her. She's been a nice representative of the sport, but she wasn't a breakout type of star. She kept winning boxing matches, but she wins boxing matches in some, I mean, you don't want to see her fight again. I mean, I can't think of a Cecilia Breakers fight. I said, you know what? I'm looking for some boxing on YouTube. Let me watch Cecilia Breakers. Not, it ain't happening. So now with Cienessa Estrada, get that right, Superbad Estrada, and people like that rolling, Jessica McCaskill working on rolling on the women, world of women's boxing, I think we're rocking and rolling as far as the females are concerned. Now, the males are concerned. Of course, pound for pound, I got one Mexican friend of mine that complains about Canelo Alvarez. He's the only one. I mean, I've talked to all kinds of Mexicans, and Hector, you know what I'm talking about here. Did I name him? Anyway, but the bottom line is, he rags on Canelo. Canelo's the best representative of the sport Mexico has ever had. Maybe the best representative of the sport ever. I mean, come on, man. He's disciplined. He's never had any tawdry headlines, per se. He's not sleeping with 1,000 women that I know of, like Oscar De La Hoya, when Oscar, of course, did that deposition. I don't remember the girl. You don't remember? No, she's accusing you of sexual assault. I don't remember her. Why, in the last year, 365 days, I've had sex with 250 women. I don't remember her. That's what Oscar said, and he got away with it. Bottom line is, good luck with that. Anyway, bottom line is, Canelo Alvarez, a good guy, both in and out of the ring. I've seen him in public. He's always seemed to be disciplined as far as his physical status is concerned, his weight. He's never seemed to get real heavy. And, of course, as I said, no crime reports, and that's good for me. Tyson Fury, the linear world heavyweight champion, 30-0, of course, that one draw with You got to give Deontay Wilder credit because he came up with all those excuses after getting beat the first time. They called it a draw. That was like they took a gun to the gypsy's head and just stole that fight from him down there. I think that was it at the LA Forum. Of course, then they had the rematch, and Tyson Fury, like, just beat the snot out of Deontay Wilder. Of course, Wilder said the gloves were rigged. He was on draw. He doesn't win. He accused my buddy, Mark Breland, 1984 Olympic gold medalist. He accused Mark Breland of putting muscle relaxers or Valiums in his water. I mean, you know, just because you're 6'7" doesn't mean somebody should be able to slap you backhand. You know what I'm talking about? So I think that, you know, Mark should enter into a lawsuit and sue that sissy. In fact, especially for the fact that, you know, Deontay just got $10 million to step aside. In other words, the Anthony Joshua, of course, fight with the once beaten Anthony Joshua, the guy that got knocked out by Auntie Louise, got knocked out by a fat Mexican. And, of course, now that fat Mexican, of course, who got fatter in the rematch, went into training for the rematch at 370 pounds. I've never heard of a heavyweight champion in my life going into going into a training for a fight being 100 pounds over, not 100 pounds, that's a lot of weight, but he was 100 pounds overweight, that big fat pig. Of course, now he's trimmed himself down. He's going to take on, he's going to have a good fight upcoming. We'll see what that's all about. But Andy Ruiz is slim. He slimmed his way down, but he was able to beat Anthony Joshua, a guy that I was real high on, 2012 Olympic gold medals. That shows you that Joshua's chin isn't all that I thought it was. Of course, guys that come into boxing late, you don't have that amateur pedigree. Although he has the Olympic gold medal, he was a latecomer to boxing. You're talking about Joshua. Anyway, Joshua and Fury, they have signed together to fight two fights. It'll be a 50-50 split for the first fight. That's right. The first fight's going to go down. I think it's going to be somewhere in Dubai, which means I ain't going. I'll never go back unless they give me more money than I got the first time, and I got zero. I was supposed to get $5,000 to go over there and spend a week there and the whole nine yards. I had to buy my own airline ticket to get out of Dubai, so I'm not going back to Dubai ever. Anyway, I kid you not, got back to the airport, and I checked the ticket before I left the United States. I said, is this a round-trip ticket? Lady said, yeah. I said, cool. So I got on the plane, because I know better than to go anywhere without a round-trip ticket, okay? So anyway, I get to Dubai, and then I'm checking out, and I get to the airport, and I say to my lady, here we go. Here's my ticket. She goes, that'll be $1,852. I said, what do you mean $1,852? She goes, your ticket's no good. What do you mean it's no good? The promoter canceled it. I said, what? Oh, yeah. They wanted me to stay another week in Dubai. I wasn't going to do it. They owe me $5,000. Of course, that was the relationship that ended with Harold Smith. My time in Dubai. Anyway, the rest of the top 10 as far as pound for pound is concerned. Of course, you've got Terrence Crawford. I talked about him a little earlier, 37 and zip, but big deal, the zip. Errol Spence, undefeated as well. Of course, he's a guy that always looks like he's smoking good cookies. He's always got a buzz to me, but bottom line is he's undefeated now. What, 27 fights, of course, coming to us, the southpaw out of Texas. Now, some of the other fighters on that top 10 pound for list, I don't think belong there. Gennady Golovkin is like older than dirt. He's like 41 years old, 38 years old, but he's like 55 years old to me. Old. I don't think he should be number 5. Number 7, of course, Wilder. Erase Wilder from the top 10 as far as pound for pound is concerned. I mean, that's a disgrace. Anyway, Jermell Charlo, that's a bit of a reach. He WBC 160-pound champion, of course, 31 in zip, but 31 guys like Scott Cuddy. I mean, that's basically everywhere's all that. And they're sort of hurting when you got to sneak in a guy like Sergey Kovalev, the current WBO light heavyweight champion, 34-4-1, as far as the top 10 as far as pound for pound is concerned. But the guy that I missed, and I missed him on purpose, is the lightweight champion. The kid to him comes to us, of course, from Brooklyn. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez, man. He is the hot guy right now. 16 is zip, 12 knockouts. Of course, lighting up Mr. Lomachenko on that last fight. People said he wasn't going to do it. I told you he was. Hector said to me, oh, Lomachenko's going to win that one. In fact, Hector, the cheapskate that he is. Oh, and I said that. The frugal one that he is had to pay off on that one with a hamburger or something like that. It took weeks, but I got him to finally pay off on that bet. But the bottom line is, he likes Lomachenko. He likes Lomachenko no matter who he's fighting. I think Lomachenko's going to come back possibly and fight somebody decent at 130 pounds. We'll see what that lays for as far as the future is concerned for Vasyl Lomachenko. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking through the world of boxing, MMA. Coming to you live from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. This is Ring Talk, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I see him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near par pedos, full steam ahead.
The world's greatest promoter. Talking about yours truly, Don King. God bless him. Of course, he's approaching his 90th birthday. Speaking of birthtays, happy birthday to Amparo Jolivet. Of course, I call her Coochie. That's what we called her as kids. And it was a positive name. I mean, Coochie sounds like it might be a negative name, but it was a positive name. She's a wonderful lady. She's got a great family. And I wish her the happiest of birthdays. May today, tomorrow, and every day beyond May, they all be birthday like Coochie Coo. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, we come to you, WBC Boxing TV. I got to hit that right because, of course, there's a sponsor as far as a copyright as far as WBC TV is concerned. But I can say WBC Boxing TV, but I can't say WBC TV. Anyway, bottom line is we're talking open mics here because I'm looking at my producer, Sky Cuddy. He's always wondering why I don't speak into the mic. Like, come on, the mic's up. Anyway, the bottom line is I got burned in an open mic. I was doing television in Sacramento, California for South Africa. Of course, Bert Blewett was the South African icon as far as TV and boxing was concerned. And I was doing the telecast with him. And in between rounds, I said something about negative about the guy that was fighting his father, Tony Lopez's father. Of course, that would come back to haunt me, not once but twice, but like 1,000 times. So that's why I always make sure the mic is not hot. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, tomorrow is Easter Sunday. I wish you the happiest Sundays. Of course, Easter Sunday wish comes to you from the WBC president, Mauricio Sulaiman, earlier in the show. I wish you the happiest of holidays. Don't forget the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide airs at 11 a.m. Pacific on this 2 p.m. Eastern time, 8 o'clock in Honolulu, Hawaii, for my people in the 50th state. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Happy holidays. My name is Pedro Fernandez. But if you didn't know that by now, what can I say?